So I'm thankful today for this privilege to have our missions director, Reverend Jackie Toro, with us, Jacqueline Toro, with us. Reverend Toro is a blessing to our district. She has a heavy call upon her life where she manages the missions department of our district and missionaries. And I know that in her heart is to continue to expand this ministry. And for us this morning, it's such an honor to have her with us. Please help me receive her today with a hand clap. Our director of missions, Reverend Jacqueline Toro.
Praise the Lord. What an honor to be here today. There's just an awesome presence in this house. Praise God. Una presencia linda que hay en esta casa, en esta mañana. And I just want to commend the pastor, Pastor Medina, his lovely wife, and Elohim Church for the amazing missionary work that they're doing in this house. I mean, listening to all of these projects and the missionaries that you are supporting, it just brings joy to my heart. And there will always be a blessing in this house because of the work that you're doing for the Lord in missions. Because missions is the heart of God, praise the Lord. And we're living in a short, you know, the days are short and the coming of the Lord is soon. So whatever we can do for God in missions puts us in the right place. So I commend you for that great work. Praise God. And I want to thank you for giving me the chance to be here, the opportunity. I like this house. I don't know. I like it here. I'm like, I don't know if I should come here more often. I feel at home here. And as I was sitting here just worshiping the Lord, I just felt like I was just in heaven. Like the presence of God is just so powerful that you can actually touch it. I don't know how you feel, but this is the way I feel, praise the Lord. And in the past few days, you know, it's been a couple of difficult days for me. I had loss in my family. I've had illnesses that have come sudden, but I'm just rejoicing in the presence of the Lord, because this morning, even though I was in Massachusetts yesterday, and we have a missionary from Honduras, and I've been schlepping him around to different places, as you know, Damaris. And then I was in Connecticut on Thursday, and I was exhausted and tired, and I was saying, Lord, you know, the doctor called me and said, you got to come in, I got to talk to you, and I was like, you know what, God is sovereign. Le servimos a un Dios soberano, gloria a Jesús. Y, gloria a Dios, estamos tan felices, ¿verdad? Gloria a Jesús, and I'm excited for missions. Yo estoy contenta de lo que Dios está haciendo alrededor del mundo a través de nuestras iglesias. There are so many exciting things that are happening in our midst that I just have to rejoice in God. I have a little party on my own just worshiping the Lord Jesus. I can't be around people that are miserable and sad and complaining. I want to be around people that are excited for Jesus and what he is doing in our midst. Praise God. So when I get together with missionaries like the one that was here, I just pick his brain, and I love to hear about what God is doing in different countries, praise the Lord, and I'm excited. And I woke up this morning, and I said, oh, I'm tired, but somehow I feel that there's something that's connecting me to Elohim. It's that presence. So when I walked in, I felt that the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're here this morning, just whatever you might have, take advantage of this opportunity, because this might be your day for healing, and it might be your day for God to do miraculous and wonderful things in your life, particularly if God is calling you to missions. But let us open our Bibles. I know that we're talking about going, so we're going to read verses 18. Vamos a leer el versículo 18 al 20. Y me alegro de ver aquí los pastores de República Dominicana y de Ecuador. Gloria a Dios, que esta iglesia está conectada, gloria a Jesús, con estos dos países que amamos, gloria a Dios. Matthew 28, you could just, if you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. Whichever way. How you feel comfortable. I feel comfortable in this house. So I don't know, Pastor. Yeah, I am at home. Gloria a Dios. It says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Praise the Lord. He's with us. Praise God. He's committed to us as his people. You may be seated. Bendito sea el nombre del Señor. Gloria a Dios. You know, there was a man by the name of Robert Moffat that said, oh, that I had 1,000 lives and 1,000 bodies, all of them should be devoted to no other employment but to preach Christ to those degraded, despised, yet beloved mortals. So these are people that want to give more to God. I was speaking to one of our missionaries who's older now, and he was saying, I wish I had another life, and I would dedicate it again to the country of Honduras. Wow. You know, Matthew 28 is a personal calling. It is a calling that was the last recorded personal instruction given by Jesus to his disciples. And we know that this gospel isn't something that you come to church to hear, although we come here to worship. It's something that you go from church to tell the people that need to hear about the great news of the gospel of Christ. We look at missions, and we look especially at global missions, and we talk about missions all the time. But if we look at what some of the statistics, for example, the Joshua Project tells us, that global missions is tragically neglected. That there are countries that, like Yemen, for example, that have 8 million people, but there are only 20 to 30 believers. That there are 2 billion people that are classified as unreached, people that are lost, that have no access to the gospel. They have no church. There are no Christians. There are no Bibles. They are born to live without ever hearing the gospel. And that's sad to hear, because most of us have more than 2 Bibles in our homes. Most of us have so many resources that we can use to worship the Lord. We freely worship God. We come as and we go as we want. And we don't think about what might happen if we are caught. That doesn't come through our minds. But these people live in these areas that where their gospel does not exist. According to the Joshua Project, there are 6,000 people groups where this is a reality. No Bibles, no churches, no Christians. And you know, I like what Pastor Medina said, praise the Lord, about the church here, Elohim Church. The responsibility that you as a church have with missions. George Pentecost said, to the pastors belong the responsibility and the privilege of the missionary problem. Every church needs to feel the full weight of nations being flamed with God's global glory. And this is what was happening in this house today. You know, God involves us in his mission. Sometimes we think that we do missions because it's something that makes us look good, that we give numbers and we give statistics and it makes us feel good that we're doing missions. But God involves us in his missions work because he loves us, not because he needs us, but because he has invited us in his mercy to be involved in his sovereign design of missions. For the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth, because he holds the world in the palms of his hands. You know, it was Tozer who, I believe it was Tozer, and you can look this up and Google it. I hope I'm right. It was Tozer who said that sometimes we put God on charity, that sometimes effective speakers put God on charity and can incite pity in his hearers for God and are eager to entertain. But we're not here to entertain. We're here because we want others to hear the gospel. We want those 6,000 people groups who do not have access to Bibles or who do not have access to churches, who cannot worship freely, we want them to feel the same love and the same presence of God and the Holy Spirit that we feel in our lives here in this nation. So we understand that man is hopeless. He's in a hopeless state everywhere we go. The Lausanne statement says that every human being is lost and that the story of Christ has to be told, not rewritten, but retold in a fresh way so that people could know the Savior, Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, and his coming again. That is what is relevant to the people who need Jesus in their lives. A lot of people feel and think that missions or maybe doing church or being a Christian is all about music. And although music is very important, because as we were sitting here, we felt the awesome presence of the Lord. And they feel that sometimes it's a show, and that's why we have problems today with worshipers that are so engaged in the music and they forgot who they are playing music for. And so we have people nowadays all of a sudden saying, I'm not even worshiping, I'm not a Christian anymore, and they feel happy. Well, guess what? I don't think they ever were believers in the first place, because this is not to do a show. This is to exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we know that man is in a state of helplessness before God, apart from Christ, and that there is a grand purpose of God, and that purpose is redemption. That's why we do missions. You know, in Revelations, the book of Revelation speaks of the scrolls, and it says, who is able to open those scrolls? Well, nobody had the qualifications to open the scrolls, and the silence of heaven testifies to that. But we understand that the purpose of redemption is for removal of pain, of death, for us to have a new heaven and a new earth, for sickness to end, because when we see people go through sickness, that breaks our hearts. When we see a person in a hospital bed suffering from cancer, that just breaks us. We become broken to see people that are in illness and they cannot help themselves. But Christ came so that all that could be removed, and one day through the redemption of Jesus Christ, he will bring to himself one nation, praise the Lord, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The problem is that when John sees these multitudes in the book of John, he is broken, he wails, he weeps, because he sees people, he gets a glimpse of the state of man without Christ. So the purpose of missions really is to introduce this amazing Savior that has caused a change in our lives, a radical change, a relevant change, a change that is positive, a change that brings families together, a change that brings the redemption and makes us relevant in this society. So in Colossians 1:21, we know that man is cut off from God, and that is so sad. And it says in Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. That is the purpose of missions. Romans 5:12, man was condemned by God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Everybody needs Jesus. In John 8:34, men without Christ have become slaves, and they have been ensnared by the devil. It says, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. So that's the reason why we see people addicted to drugs and addicted to alcohol, with sexual addictions and gambling addictions and so many problems that they cannot cut themselves off from. The only one who has the power through the blood of Jesus, through redemption, is Jesus Christ. That's how we get free from all these things that bind man, that bring destruction, that bring so many evil into this world. Because if you look around, you see pharmaceutical companies deliberately selling medications so people could become addicted just so they can make money. That is outright evil. And when you see the level of human trafficking in this country, of child trafficking, you understand that these are evil things and that man needs salvation, that Jesus Christ is the answer to all these things. So in 2 Timothy 2:26, they say they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him in his will. And in Ephesians, we are told that man is the object of wrath. but Christ came to save. You know, Thomas Watson says that that the wicked will not die. When they die, they'll be in hell. The wicked will be there forever. They think they're dying, but they're not. They'll be in a place of torment. And nowadays, it's not good to preach about hell and these things because it makes people uncomfortable. People want to feel a good gospel, a feel-good psychological therapeutic gospel that says, yes, you can. You're going to be you're going to progress. You're going to make money. You're going to have a new car. And people don't want to hear the true story of redemption. They don't want to hear that there is a real hell. And that's why we do missions, so people could not go to that place. And George Whitefield said, he spoke of the tears of torment during a life that's lived in a place called hell. You know, John weeps in the book of Revelation. He's wailing for what he sees. For he contemplates the state of those that are unreached, those that are apart from Christ. And in Revelations 1:18, he sees God. He sees the creation. He sees what God is doing. And John weeps because there are millions of people that don't have a knowledge of Christ. There are millions of people whose knowledge of God is only sufficient to damn them. And that is sad because there are a lot of people that know of God, but they don't know God. They see the sun, they see the moon, they see the weather patterns. They know that there is a God, but they don't have a way to come to him. So God has called us so we can reach these people for the Lord. That is awesome. And I was looking at some of the statistics that were given to us by a pastor who was telling us about what's happening in these last days. And some of the things that he mentions that is going on in 1 year, and these are the things that I would like to share with you that he says have happened in just 1 year. And I want you to bear with me. He says in Canada, in order to get government grants, you must be for abortion. If you're not for abortion in Canada, you cannot get any grants. In Ireland, they passed abortion by a landslide. If you do not agree and you're in some kind of political or teaching position or whatever, you may lose your job. You can be cut off from social media. These are things that are happening in the past 1 year. California, 2019, they attempted to force Life Christian pregnancy centers to refer to abortion clinics young girls that come to the clinics. Otherwise, they are threatened to be closed. The UN committee declared that all sovereign nations must legalize abortion in the world. And so we see what's going on. And in the book of Daniel, Daniel describes the last state of civilization as something that is unnatural, that goes against nature. They want to redefine nature, and that's what we're seeing nowadays. There is an effort to try to remove the church. And you know, USA Today said that they warned that we will all here in America be microchipped. And I know people say things, well, that's not the mark of the beast. That's because they want, you know, your dog gets lost, they'll find him. You know, you don't want him to get lost. You want to get your dog back. There are other people who suffer from Alzheimer's. But if you look attentively, you will see that we are living in the days just before the rapture of the church. And in the end times, Daniel tells us there'll be immorality, it will increase, the culture will descend. There were so many things that will happen. And some of the things that this pastor, he is a rabbi, a messianic rabbi, he was mentioning things that have happened just this year. New York added the third gender. We know that because we live here. The Boy Scouts were punished by the state, by the courts, by culture because they gave in 2018. They had to remove the name boy because it is politically incorrect. We see that the Gideon Bibles that were given out in schools when we were in high school, when we were in college, when you go to a hotel, they always had a Gideon Bible. They were always in the campuses giving out New Testaments. Now they are not allowed to give New Testaments or for Bibles in the schools. This year, according to this Messianic rabbi, Disney, since 1980, they had Christian musical festivals. This year, they decided that they will no longer have Christian musical festivals. They can have everything else except that. And we see that in the United Kingdom, Christians were protected since the 1690s. But now, if they preach in the square where the Puritans came from, and from the United Kingdom, now you have people arrested for preaching the gospel. This is something that is going on, and it has happened in the past year. We look at persecution. According to a lot of outlets, persecution has existed now more than any other time in history. Now you have nativity scenes that are called dangerous and that are called things that should not be shown to our children because they feel that they threaten them because of their religious beliefs. In Canada, a Christian university that operated for 200 years, they were ruled to remove accreditation of this Christian university. They said that it was illegal to have their students abstain from sexual immorality, so the school gave in because they felt they had no other choice. You know, Bonhoeffer said these words, and I want to cite what he said. He said, "We must learn to regard people less in light of what they do or don't do, and more in light of what they suffer." And if we look at what people are suffering, then we are able to present a gospel of Christ that came and died and shed his blood for these people. That's what they need to hear. You know, I see people sometimes do missions, and in these past 2 years, I've learned a lot. Because I have people that have genuine passion, that truly love the lost souls. And then you see other people that they just look at numbers. It's like really what is important and relevant goes over their heads because they're only interested in numbers and they're only interested in their self-recognition. And that is sad because as a church, we need to give all the glory and honor to who it belongs, and that's to Jesus. And I like what Bonhoeffer said, and we know who Bonhoeffer was. In the midst of evil in Germany, when the German church was Nazified, when the trains passed by some of these German churches full of Jewish people that were going to be exterminated and sent to be gassed, and they were screaming loud, and the Germans, while they were worshiping, they can hear the screams of the people on the trains. So the pastors would instruct the people, sing louder so we won't hear their cry. We don't want our churches to reach that point. We want to present a relevant Christ in missions, and that's what missions is all about. You know, Bonhoeffer also said that action springs not from thought, but from a readiness for responsibility. And that ethics were centered on the demand for action by responsible men and women in the face of evil. He was a critique of ethical theory and academic concerns with ethical systems precisely because their failure to confront evil directly. So evil, he asserted, was concrete and specific, and it could only be confronted only by specific actions and responsible people in the world. And we have been called to be responsible people to introduce a Christ that is the answer for every single problem in this world. You know, I was looking at some of our statistics in our denomination, and we have been told that a lot of the churches, very few churches are carrying the burden for missions. And that's kind of sad because that should be for everyone. We are such a large group of people. According to John Brad Waltz, he was saying that South Korea is the second largest sender of missionaries after the U.S. And that Anglicans have 85 to 100 million non-practicing believers. Lutherans have 74 million. But we in the Assemblies of God, he said, so one could argue that the Assemblies of God with 67 or 73 million adherents, it's actually the largest Protestant religious body in terms of practicing believers. But if we are practicing believers, then we need to put missions in the front line so that people can get to know who Jesus is. In light of all these things that we see that have happened, we need to bring to mind and we need to be conscious of that we have a responsibility to tell the world about Jesus. Some of us can't go, but some of us can give. Some cannot give much, but some can pray. And we need people to pray. You know, the pastor mentioned the Live Dead. The Live Dead, which is one of our Assemblies of God groups that just ministers to people in delicate areas. And the other day, there was a young lady working with me in the missions department who's going to a delicate area, and I don't want to name the area. But I asked her, I said, you're young, you're single, are you're not afraid? And she says, I'm not afraid. I'm excited to go. I don't have my full pledges, but I'm excited to go where I'm going, a dangerous area, and there's a little group that's waiting for me, and I'm not scared to die. I'm ready to give my life for the Lord. And I looked at, wow, that's a young person. Because in this country, we tend to look at things that we feel are pertinent. We tend to make sure that our kids go to Yale and Harvard and Columbia, right? We saw some parents that were Hollywood stars paying, and some of them are going to jail, which is sort of a good thing, you know, for cheating, because there are kids that struggle, they take SATs. I'm past that with my kids, thank God. But I know Pastor Medina and Rebecca are still in that, taking them to get, you know, courses and running for SAT preps and all these things. You too, you have that coming towards you. I hate to tell you, but and these kids study hard, but they focus on all these things that are secondary. But you know, I was telling a person one day who told me when I was a pastor, a pastor's wife, a friend of mine who got a job in a German company many years ago, making a lot of money, and she started backsliding, and we went to a wedding, and she said these words to me, boy, Jackie, you're still the pastor's wife? Wow, that's sad. That's the worst thing that could happen to anybody. And I was like, oopsies, thank you. En medio de la boda, me dice, me tira esas palabras, y como que me dolió, ¿verdad? Pero mi mente decía, dile para atrás, pero al ser esposa pastor, you got to, you know, control yourself with people that you might not like too much, but you got to kind of love them in Christ. So I took it, and I was like, wow, you know, this is not good. So I went home, and I kind of pondered on that, you know. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit tell me, you're serving me. My kingdom is the greatest thing that anyone can do. So I'm a coffee lover. I went to Starbucks and got myself a giant cup of the best with a lot of whipped cream and stuff. I was like, thank you, Jesus, because I work for your kingdom. I work for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He pays well. And it is an honor and a glory to serve this amazing God. And then years later, I ran into her, and she said these words to me. You know, I had an opportunity to work in the church, but my mom kind of discouraged me and told me, no, you can't work in the church. You got to work in a company. They're going to give you a lot of money. And she was traveling, and she said, I wish I stood in the church working in that little school that they had asked me to work in. Because traveling with all these people, she became an alcoholic and lost her kids and then eventually lost her job. So I didn't say anything. I just said, Lord, I thank you. Because although we don't have all those, you know, nice cars and the red bottom shoes and, you know, all the, I have a pair somebody gave me. I just want you to know. Un regalo que me dieron, me lo tuve que poner. You know, fancy cars, the Maserati, you know, it's not about that. It's about living with a Christ that is relevant, being full of the joy of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's an amazing God. So when we look in the book of Revelation, I want you to just join me in Revelation 5, and we'll be finished. And I know our time is almost over. When we look at missions, we see the ultimate conclusion. What will happen? And when John, in the book of Revelations, he says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And then he says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loosen the seals thereof? No man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look therein. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book, and out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden veils full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by thy blood, out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Lord, praise the Lord. That is the final purpose of missions, praise God, that we are able to bring with us a group of people that need to say, worthy is the Lamb. So it is worthy to do missions for God, not for us, but for the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I charge you this morning that you go and do missions for the one who needs those souls to be saved, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the mighty God, the Lamb that was slain, the one that resurrected, the one that redeems us. Praise the Lord. God bless. And I want to end with this. If anyone wants to come up and join us for a prayer, for a few moments of prayer. You know, The Live Dead, I just got a book from Dick Brogdon, who actually gave me a couple of books. And one of the books for The Live Dead is, pray for 12 minutes, 1 minute, for each need of unreached people groups. That's not a lot. 12 minutes is very little of your life. But we need to commit sometimes to these things, because this is what's going to usher in the coming of the Lord. That we gather together and we pray as a people and we put aside all those things that are insignificant and irrelevant and get together as a people so that others could know who Jesus is. So if anyone wants to come up, I invite you to come and join us. If you want to do the 12 minutes, you can. But if you want prayer because you want to recommit or rededicate, or you want to give more of your finances, or you want to join a large group of people to pray for missions, pray for our missionaries that are in Africa. Pray for our missionaries that are in Iraq. Pray for our missionaries that are in Iran, the country that is experiencing the greatest revival in this world. If you want to pray for those people, we have one missionary in one of the most dangerous parts of the world, giving his life for the Lord, making history. Then I invite you to come and join us in prayer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is a mighty presence of God in this house. I can feel it. There is a mighty presence of God in this house, and I feel it. I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of the Lord in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you don't want to come up front, then I would like for you to pray where you're sitting. And we will pray together. Lord, we present to you, my God, all those missionaries, especially the Stuchis that are in, Lord, East Africa. And all those missionaries, oh God, that are in the Middle East and other areas that are delicate areas, that are giving their lives every day, Lord, as an offering to you. We pray for them. And I pray for this house, oh God. For the love of missions that this house has. And for the calling that this pastor, Reverend Medina, and his wife have. The commitment to missions, oh Lord. Because we cannot be Pentecostals without being a missionary church, oh God. That is the DNA, oh Lord. So we pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you bless all those missionaries that are out there, our missionaries, oh Lord, that are in Latin America, oh God, South America, all over North America, Asia Pacific, in Russia, Lord, in the Ukraine, oh God, in all the different islands, oh God, in the delicate areas where no missionary has ever gone. And we thank you because we finally have one person serving in one of those delicate areas. We thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity, oh God. And that we may take the time to pray for them every day, oh Lord, and refocus our priorities, oh God, where it needs to be placed, oh Lord. Not on us, oh God, not on our selfish ways, Lord. Not to be egocentric, oh God, or narcissistic, oh God, but to give it to you, Lord. Thank you for this blessing, oh God. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.